Arizona. We're glad you've joined us today for the Word of God. What a wonderful thing it is to have the Word of God that we can hear and we can read. To have that Word is a blessing, isn't it? Today I want to talk to you about the antidote for the sin nature. We are all sinners without the grace of God. We are sinners. We're born into this world with sin nature. And I would like for us to just pray today and ask the Lord to anoint me and anoint your hearts and your minds. Heavenly Father, thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are here. We sense your presence. I pray that you will anoint me to bring the word that you have put upon my heart, that you will anoint the minds and the hearts of those who hear the word, that they will receive it with open our hearts, O God. We want to know you. We want your word to dwell in our hearts. I thank you, Lord. I praise you and thank you for that anointing. And we trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The antidote for the sin nature. We've all been poisoned by nature to sin. And unless we receive that antidote, we will die in our sins, although the symptoms may not be immediately seen. If someone is struck by a poisonous snake, he or she is subject to death unless an antidote to counteract that poison is received. And you do not receive just condolences and speaking and saying it, everything's okay. It takes an antidote. You must receive that to kill the poison. I remember when we lived in Texas years ago, our neighbor had a little two-year-old girl. And the little two-year-old got a bottle of baby aspirin, and she just ate them. And the woman was hysterical, and she said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how many were in the bottle, but it's empty now. I don't know. And she said she doesn't have any symptoms. It seems like she's okay. It can appear that you're okay with sin in your life, but it will show the results. It takes time sometimes for it to come out. But that little girl, though she had no visible symptoms immediately, she died as a result of that overdose of aspirin because the mother did not and the father thought she was okay because she did not exhibit any symptoms. That's the way sin is in our lives. We sometimes don't see the symptoms, we don't recognize it, and we let it pass. An antidote is the substance that counteracts the form of poisoning. The antidote that destroys the poison of the sin nature is the Word of God. The Word of God. Every person who is born in this world is born with a nature to sin. In Romans, this fifth chapter, Paul writes, he said, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Nobody is exempt. You say, well, that baby doesn't have sin. Oh, yes, as soon as he's old enough to know, you can bet he does. He has that nature to sin, automatic nature. And David said in Psalm, the 51st chapter, he said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. I had that nature to sin. It doesn't mean he has committed a sin. He has that nature, and he will. He wants his own way. And Romans, the third chapter, verse 23, says, all have sinned, and we fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and we do not measure up to God's glory and his presence. Often we hear parents say, I don't understand my child. I have warned him or her again and again to avoid the choices that will lead to destruction. But he or she does not listen. I've given my time. I've tried to be a good parent. And we hear that often. I've heard it many times. I've attended church regularly, but somehow it seems I have failed. All our good intentions and efforts are not the antidote for the sin nature, any more than our talking to and consoling a person who has been bitten by a poisonous snake. We can console him, but he still has the poison in his body. There is absolutely only one antidote for the sin nature, and that is the Word of God. You say, the Word of God? I thought the blood of Jesus was more powerful. Well, where do you find the blood of Jesus? The whole pages of the Word of God are covered with the blood of Jesus. Everywhere you can open that book and it will bleed because it talks about the blood of Jesus. But if you don't know about it, you can't apply it to your life or let it be applied. I remember as a child, I certainly, like all others, I had a sinful nature, a desire to be like the world and a desire to reject the instructions of my parents. I wanted to do the things that the kids did. My parents understood that telling me to avoid sin was not enough. Attending church faithfully was not enough. They recognized that it was their responsibility to give me the Word of God. And so they did. Even though my father was a very, I don't know if you would call him a harsh man, he was tough. But he insisted that we would get the Word of God into us. They forced me to hear and even read aloud the Word of God every morning and every night. I did not always enjoy setting everything aside that I had planned, even homework. But when that time came, my father said, "Gather around the family altar. We're going to read." And I was one of those that read. I learned to read by reading the Word of God. And the interesting thing is that the children that learn verses and memorize scripture or hear it when they're little do not forget it like we do when we're older. We can read it now and it kind of, let me see, I've got to remember. But what you learn as a child is embedded and instilled in your mind and heart. And so many times my mind wandered and did not focus on the Word, but somehow it took root in my heart and in my spirit. As a freshman in high school, even though I did go forward when I was 5 years old and I surrendered my life to Christ, but you know, the devil's not willing to leave you alone. And he came at me. And when I was a freshman in high school, I skipped lunch to read God's Word, because I had that conviction, and I would go without the meal and go in the bathroom and sit there on the couch in that room. It had become a confidence and a stability for my life, and so it will for your children and for those children for whom you are responsible. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 6, the writer there, Solomon, says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it." Literally, the translation is saying, force feed him, train him up, cram it down his throat. You say, oh, I can't do that. Well, that's what it's saying. In the literal translation, it says, touch the uvula of his throat, and that forces him to swallow. And some people say, well, I'm not going to force it on my kids. I heard a man declare that he would not make the choice. I heard him myself. He said, I will not make my child decide to go to church and follow Christ. He said, I'm going to let him decide for himself when he's grown. He can make that decision. What a tragedy. The father lived by that, and now he is dead. But today, his son, I have seen him not too far long ago. I have seen him. He is a confused young man, doesn't know what to do. He's been in an institution for his emotional instability because of the confusion, whereas he could have had the direction and known the Word of God that would have set him on the straight path. He has no belief in God, and he chases after the sins that gratify his flesh now. There's a quote that Rabbi Zacharias said. He said, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's the way the devil works. Sin is not your friend. Jesus is called the Logos, or the Word of God, because He, Jesus, embodies the total message of God to mankind. He is the message that came from God for us. Without Jesus, we cannot know God. But the Bible, the Word of God, tells us that. But how will we know it if we don't read it? In Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 3, it says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His nature, upholding all things by His powerful word." After He had provided purification for sins, after Jesus had gone to Calvary, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. In Colossians, the first chapter, verse 19, it says, "For in Him, in Jesus, all, not just part, but all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." It was in Jesus. We see God manifested through Jesus. He came in the flesh, and we saw God came to mankind. In Psalm, the 119th chapter, David said, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." When we teach, when we read the word of God, then we see this is what God wants for my life. I can do it. The word tells me that. He says, "By guarding it according to your word, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." David said, You are a lamp to my feet. That means something that's right close by. I see the light to shed, and a light to my path, far distant as well. And then in the 15th and 16th verses of 119, David said, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." I will not forget your word. And we have to instill that in our children and in our own lives. If we didn't get it as a child, we need to read the word and make it, just eat it up, make it part of our lives. Genesis, the 18th chapter, verse 19, God said about Abraham, "I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." God chose Abram, or Abraham later, because He said He will be a father, not just to the Jewish people. He's going to be a father of all nations, and they can hear the word of God. If it had not been for the Jews, we wouldn't even know the gospel. It came through the Jewish people, but He became a father, Abraham, to us as well. Not only should we feed the Word of God to our children, but we must feed ourselves with the Word of God in order to live a victorious life. I love, the Bible says, and I don't have the reference because I wrote it as I was driving and I thought about it. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." When we have such love, and you read the Bible, this is life. It tells us how God wants us to live, how He will protect our lives if we'll go by the Word of God. But if we don't know it, how many children, how many young people have been destroyed because they did not know the Word of God, and perhaps adults even were part of the reason for that destructive behavior. Paul's instruction to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, "Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." We should learn it from our parents and our grandparents. "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." He was familiar with the Word of God. And he said, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." What does the word do? It makes us wise. It lets us know we need Jesus to be our Savior. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The Word of God is good for all of that. We can reprove, we can build up, we can correct, and we can teach. The Word of God shows us God's plan for salvation, which is only through Jesus' redemptive sacrifice. It's not by our works of righteousness that we are saved. And I remember a lady, and I've told you before probably, that I knew very well, and she said, but I've never done anything wrong. I've never cheated anybody. I don't know anybody could be that perfect, but she was telling me how perfect she was. And she was one of those that would live by the rules. But I said, that's not enough. I was a young person living with her. I said, that is not enough. You have to trust in the blood of Jesus. And she said, but why? Because there is none righteous. Your works won't do it. Well, after I went away and came back to see her, after I married and went there to her home, and she said, I finally understand. All of my works were just like filthy vomit, just streaming down over me. I saw that I was unworthy and unfit. If you think that something you can do is worthy of God's acceptance, you are a fool to think that. It is absolutely untrue. God cannot receive anything except the righteousness of His Son. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that makes you righteous. The Word of God shows us God's plan for salvation. Jesus, in the third chapter of John, was encountered by Nicodemus. He came to him and he said, I know you're good and all that. And, you know, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he was telling him, it's not good works, nothing else. He said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him might have eternal life. And you remember how that Moses put the snake on the pole, because the bronze snake, because the people were being bitten by poisonous snakes. We have been bitten by the snake, the poison of sin in our lives. And the only way that we can be free of that is to look to that sacrifice that Jesus made. He said, you have to look to that snake that represents Satan being torn away from our lives. And we receive the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter says, for the word of God is living and active. It's alive. It's not just dead. It's alive. Every time you read it, there's something fresh from the same verse. You can read it over and over, and it has a new meaning. Does it change? No, it doesn't change, but it's applicable to your life exactly where you have need. And so the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It can cut and divide. It pierces to the division of soul and of spirit. It separates your spirit from your soul. Your soul is that emotion and that intellect. It's not the spirit. The spirit is separated from that, it says, and of the joints and of marrow and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God will discern the intents of the heart. We can examine it, not for somebody else, but when I read the Word of God, I say, God, let it apply to me. What are you saying to me? It is what will keep me, and it will keep you from sin, if you will go by that word. Paul wrote in Ephesians, the first chapter, he said, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And then in John, the fifth chapter, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. But you have to know the word of God to believe it. You have to know it. And he said, and he will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Some people are very afraid of death. What we call death, the physical body. But those of us who know Jesus and we have already made him Lord of our lives should have no fear of that transition. It's not death, it's just a transition. You're leaving this temporal body, this tent that is not going to last forever, and you're going into the presence of God. Is it any wonder that the only antidote for the poison of the sin nature is the Word of God? No, it's not a wonder. It is amazing. But it gives you every instruction you need to defeat Satan's schemes and to defeat the sin nature. The Word of God instructs us to trust in the cleansing blood of Jesus. Without that word, without that knowledge, we have no hope. And we will be sinners until we accept the blood of Jesus. If you're listening today, I'm going to cut this a little short. If you're listening today and you have not immersed yourself in the Word of God, get a Bible and begin to read, because in there you will read that Jesus paid the penalty for your sins and that it's not by anything you can do. Your works of righteousness will not pay for anything you've done. You can't make up for it. You can't erase it. But the blood of Jesus can, and the Word of God will tell you that. And so I would like to pray, and I want you to agree with me as I pray. My prayer will not save you, will do nothing more than help you focus and to realize what you need to be in agreement for. Lord Jesus, too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. According to your word, O God, by faith I receive the gift of salvation, and I trust you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and for giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, and I now receive you into my heart. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer and you have meant it from the depths of your heart and recognize that you are a sinner, but the blood of Jesus cleanses. And when he washes it away, it's forever forgotten. He never will bring it up again. It's washed clean. You are clean and pure in his sight. If you have not done that, I pray that you did it today. I thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church. May you have a blessed week as you walk with Jesus. Okay. I'm a little bit short today, huh? That doesn't bother you a bit, does it? Sometimes they go too long. But anyway, that's short and sweet. It's sweet. Isn't it sweet to have Jesus in your life? Amen. What a wonderful blessing. I don't know anything that there's nothing that could take the place of knowing him. And his word is precious. His word is precious. Amen.